Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won. Simple's got the score. Simple, his farewell. His farewell. And he hits it. He scores. He's got the field goal. He's got the premiership. He has gone from, as I said, a captain to a legend and probably rugby league immortality.
All right, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. Myself and Kat are going to catch up on some of the news stories from the last week or so. Been a while since we've done one of these. Last week was a hectic week with Anzac Day and whatnot. So we have got a few stories and things to catch up on. Kat, welcome in. We just absolutely pounded one of the great lunches of all time.
Oh, we
and
did.
I think we're feeling a bit flat now.
Yeah, I don't feel flat. I just think I pushed myself over the edge a little bit with that last part of the meal.
Yeah, look,
didn't eat the lollies.
We had some nice sandwiches and they were great, quite filling. And then we had, unfortunately, we had three different varieties of lollies and two little piglets over here couldn't quite help ourselves.
Yeah, oink, oink.
Oink, oink. We had our way with some lollies to finish our meal. So, feeling a little bit flat at the moment. I've got a big dinner tonight too. So that was a little bit of a rookie error.
Yeah, that's not like you.
This won't shock you, but I've made this mistake many a time before. Yeah. And I'll make it many a time again. Kat, let's get down to serious business though, brasses and tacks sort of stuff. What sort of what topics have we got today?
So let's kick it off with I guess one that touches both of our hearts because he's played for both our teams.
Yeah,
Luke
sure.
Keary. Let's talk about his retirement announcement.
Yeah. At the same time, Kat, like unexpected, but also it does make sense to me. I guess that just because he re-signed just before round one for the Sydney Roosters for another year, I guess it's a bit of a surprise. But before he re-signed, I just assumed this would be Keary's last season in the NRL. He did obviously re-sign for another season. It'll be interesting to see how the NRL and the Roosters handle that situation. First and foremost, what a fantastic career. Luke Keary obviously burst onto the scene in, I want to say 2014. I think that was his debut year, Kat, when you guys won the comp. He might have played a game or two in 13. I believe he came from
– he was technically with the team in 13, but I think you're right. He made more of a mark in 14.
Did he play in 2013? Can you see his games there? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was with South Sydney from 2013.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember the first time I ever watched Luke Keary, I was out at the SCG and the South Sydney Rabbitohs were playing and really impressed me. A kid that came out of Oak Hill College, I believe, rugby union school. Mm-hmm. I think he was an Australian schoolboy in union, a very talented prospect coming out of there, ended up at South Sydney and if my memory recalls correctly, I'm going heavy off vibe here, but John Sutton started the season at 5'8". He moved to the edge and then Luke Keary came in to partner Adam Reynolds. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget that Luke Keary was in his second year of first grade, if you want to count 2013. He was essentially in his first year of first grade. And Adam Reynolds, he won Dally M Rookie of the Year in 2012, I believe. So, like, it's one of the most inexperienced halves pairings of all time. When you consider how long Johnny Sutton had been playing at that point, he was, you know, a high 200s player, a high 200 games sort of player by that point, and they made the decision to move him out of there. It was a really, really bold call. And dare I say, though, Kat, I don't think you win that premiership that year without Keary. He just gave you an extra level of unpredictability. I find with young halves, and you look at Galvin right now, I think, and this is what I think sometimes people get confused with when they talk about second year syndrome, Kat. They go, oh, then they're not up to it. They can't maintain it. For me, what happens is coaches actually get tape on you and they get to understand how you play and they start to plan against you. Whereas for that entire season, from memory, Kiri came in from about round 15 onwards or something like that. It was late in the season and teams just didn't really know what to expect from Luke Kiri. Same as a kid like Galvin at the moment. Then in your second year, teams start to work you out and whatnot. But yeah, obviously for South Sydney, he was massive. I believe he was the man that made the break and threw the pass to GI. For him to score the Goanna try in the grand final, which is
iconic,
one of the great moments of all time. Luke, obviously, we had all the drama with Russell Crowe and whatever the hell happened there. And in typical rugby league fashion, you know, we love a storyline. Where does Luke land? At the Sydney Roosters? Arch enemies of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and you know, has a big influence there. Wins two premierships, a Clive Churchill medalist at the Sydney Roosters. I would imagine. He's been the first guy in probably 40 or 50 years to win a comp with the Rabbitohs and with the Roosters, which is pretty unique. I don't know how many more of them you're going to see in the history of the game. You obviously saw a lot back in the day. I would say Ron Coote did the same thing. But yeah, pretty amazing career. Played New South Wales, played for the Kangaroos, did it all. Luke Kiri retires with the Clive Churchill medal, which I would say would probably be the crowning moment of his career, going up against the Melbourne Storm in that grand final. Obviously, Cooper Cronk was on the field, but he was injured just directing traffic, and Luke Kiri just absolutely suffocated the Melbourne Storm that night. It's not very often you see the Melbourne Storm just have no answers whatsoever. They scored one try that night and it was off an intercept, so very, very rare. In any game, but in a grand final. And that was a strong Melbourne side as well. Billy Slater, Cameron Smith, these sort of guys. And Luke Kiri took home the Clive Churchill medal that night. Obviously, Caddy's career at the back end has been dominated by these head knocks and whatnot. And he's been criticised by many, including myself, for his form at the back end of his career at the Roosters. But there's no doubt whatsoever he's a three-time premiership winner. I think it's only Jared Rhea Hargraves, Jesse Bromwich, Daniel Tupu. I'm trying to think of if there's anyone else in the comp that's got. Oh, and these Penrith boys.
Yeah, other than the Penrith boys.
Pre the Penrith boys, it was incredibly rare.
Yeah.
To win three comps. Incredible career.
Yeah, he's definitely part of that iconic Souths side for me that I think back very fondly on. And then, like you said, making the move to the Roosters, doing the reverse trell, as I like to say. The reverse trell. Well, he did it first, so. Actually, it was Trell doing the reverse Kiri, but he has done very well and he has had a great career. I do think he's flown under the radar in the last couple of seasons. That could be a testament to the level that he plays at and the fact that he's just been doing his job. And it is a shame to see him retiring at a young age. He's only 32.
Yeah.
And there is definite signs that the head knocks and all that have played into an earlier retirement for him.
Yeah, it's not the – that's what I assume. It's not the sole reason. It's definitely played a role though, obviously. Oh,
absolutely. But I think that's the reality of the sport these days, and we are seeing decisions like that being made, maybe not the way that they were made in the past, and that's because of the knowledge that we have of the brain and concussion protocols and what extensive damage – and concussions over time can do to someone, but I think they're making a good decision for him and for what the quality of life looks like after footy.
Yeah, completely agree. Got a young family and whatnot, so great to see. I was just having a look at your 2014 season card. So in 2013, he played 12 games. Only one of them he started. The rest of them he came off the bench. 2014, I said he came in around round 15. It was round 17 he came in.
Damn.
He played every single game after that, and the South Sydney Rabbitohs – how many games is that? It's 12 games. They won 9 from 12 once Kiri came into that side and, of course, went undefeated in the finals. Pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, no, I just read up too. So he made his return in that round 17 game against the Titans and he scored a try.
Yeah.
For that 14-10 shock loss. And then on the 5th of October, he played at 5-8 for our victory.
And you know what? Like, even after he came in against the Titans, his next two games he played off the bench. So when he was playing 5-8 in that grand final, that was only his 10th game at 5-8 that season.
Yeah.
And it's what and people forget how young Adam Reynolds was as well. It really is an incredible premiership, especially then when you consider Isaac Luke got ruled out, Appy came in and played 9. I'd love to know as far as younger spines to win a premiership. Obviously, GI would blow it out a little bit, but a very, very young spine in that grand final to go Appy, Keary, Reynolds. I think that's
not
a little
big
bit
boys either.
What's that?
They're not very big. The three of those either.
Small in stature, yeah. For sure. Yeah, so pretty wild. But yeah, congratulations to Luke Keary on a brilliant career. Not many guys get to win one premiership. Luke Keary won three of them, and he's in a very select group of Clive Churchill medalists as well. So shout out to him.
It is nice, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
You've got to think a guy like that heads into retirement feeling pretty darn good about what he's done.
Oh, bloody oath. And you know what? I'm sure a guy like Luke Keary would walk into retirement after the scares he's had, just at a point where he's happy to retire. There hasn't been something really bad that's occurred or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of positives take there from Luke Keary, and I'm sure the Roosters will make him part of the furniture there.
Agreed. And as a fellow Irish person, I love the work that he's done for Ireland as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Yeah. Not too much, but he's done a little bit.
What's next, Captain Bill?
All right, let's talk about a winger that we love, Brian To'o. Oh, now, mate. I like that you brought this up because this was a conversation I had on the catch-up with Shaq TV.
Yeah.
And we both reflected on how Brian To'o's 100th game was over the weekend. Penrith's videos and everything were absolutely beautiful, made everyone feel emotional. But back to the fact that it was his 100th game. What do you mean Brian To'o has only played 100 first grade games? It feels like he has been around forever.
Yeah, it does. It's he's a special player, Kat. There is something special about Brian To'o, and you know, he's still young. I imagine he's 23, 24 or something.
25.
Okay. Like, he is still, you know, he is going to be an interesting player, Kat, to see how long his body can withstand this, because no one's ever done what Brian Totter's doing before. And I copped an absolute heap, Kat, after the 2021 grand final. I posted about him and said, this guy is doing nothing. The wingers have not done anything close to what this guy is doing. I copped an absolute shit because it was early in his career, but I could just tell there was something different about Brian To'o. And since then, he hasn't. And you know what? I understand what people were saying, because they were like, oh, he can't possibly do this for the rest of a career. And I sort of went, yeah, okay, maybe. But I think that's what he's building his game around. And he was never getting injured. He was just doing the damn thing week in, week out. And the best thing about Brian To'o, and this is what I respect about guys like him so much, Kat, and I think it's something we sleep on, he saves his best performances for the biggest stages. It's Origin. It's finals. It's fucking grand finals. It's test matches. Like, he just – if you go and have a look at his stats from State of Origin, he's averaging about 200 run meters in fucking Origin. You go and have a look at Clubland, he's averaging 200-plus meters there. And the insane thing is that, you know, you would assume, oh, he's a winger. They kick the ball to him. He returns at 30 meters. No one kicks to him because they know they can't tackle him.
Yeah.
If you have a look at who actually leads the comp for kick return meters, it's Dylan Edwards. You know why? Because they refuse to kick the ball to Brian To'o. It's like he has got so much against him, and he just keeps on delivering time and time again. He is incredible. He's obviously a three-time premiership winner.
You know, just speaking of that, three-time premiership winner, 100 games. The average.
And he's lost one.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What a career.
It's honestly, it's mind-boggling. And you know what? I remember the first time I saw Brian To'o, he was playing out at bloody Homebush or Core, whatever it's called, and he scored a try and he did the Conor McGregor celebration. And I remember thinking, that's a lot for early in your career sort of thing. Like,
but that's just his personality.
It is his personality, but my first instincts of Brian To'o were, I don't know about this. This will be interesting to see how long he lasts in this league, because that was all I'd seen of him. Then a few weeks later, the more I watched him, I thought, no. He's different. He's fucking heaps different, the way he goes about things and just how tough he is. It really is incredible. And, you know, it's something I think I spoke about maybe with Natty and Wooker or someone a few months ago about how, like, the running backs in the NFL, they used to be like 10-year-long careers. Now they're two or three just because they put their body through so much. What Brian To'o is doing, he shouldn't be able to do for a career. He shouldn't be able to do it for more than two seasons, in my opinion, from what I've seen in the history of the game. How he does it week in, week out, like, he never has a week off.
No.
He never has a quiet game. He never doesn't come looking for work. He's had injuries throughout this period. He just keeps doing it. He goes and plays Origin, comes back, backs up for Penrith, plays all the way. Like, playing 100 games in the amount of time he's done it in is incredible in itself.
Yeah.
But that 100 games doesn't include Origins, test matches, Like it's honestly off the charts what Brian Toto's done over the last few years. And I think as well, Kat, you mentioned like his personality and who he is, just how good he's been for his community.
Mm.
He's just such a unique player, a unique person, I should say.
Yeah, I think these Penrith boys are really something special, yeah. Not just when you look at what they've achieved as a squad, but what they've done for the community with FTA from the area, all the work that they do out in Penrith, building community. I think being examples of what you can achieve and the things that you can do, which Stephen Crichton, for example, has spoken very openly about how challenging it is to see the bigger picture when you're kind of living out there and, yep. and getting caught up in some of the more negative things. But those guys are proof that you can make a decent life for yourselves and you can have a lot of fun at the same time.
For sure. And I'm trying to find it, but here it is. Him and Jerome Luai, obviously very, very good mates. They've launched their own fashion label as well. Yeah. It's based on Dragon. Are you a Dragon Ball Z person?
I did grow up. I have an older brother. So I grew up on Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon. Yeah. That was my
Dragon
thing.
Ball Z as a kid. I fucking frothed it. So pretty cool to see them have their clothing brand that's based around DBZ. It's called Universe 7, which very I believe cool. from memory was like the universe that Dragon Ball Z was set in.
It's so cool that that they've even taken inspiration it's from cool. that for the label.
I like it.
But also shout out to the 27 Project, who are the studios that they shot everything and produced all of their cool promo material. They're really great. So that's run by Nick Air Films, and Nick Air does heaps of stuff for the Penrith community as well. He's become
awesome.
Another example of what those guys out there can achieve, and he's given them loads of opportunities. It's really cool.
That is fantastic. Yeah, I actually can't really think of anything that Brian Toto has done in the last 4 years that I haven't absolutely loved, you know. And you know, even Kat, like the idea of like if 10 years ago two NRL players brought out a fashion brand about Dragon Ball Z, like I remember Chris McQueen used to have Dragon Ball Z tattoos and I remember people used to give him shit about it and stuff. Like the way that these boys have just owned who they are and everything they do, like it sounds lame, but everything they do is just cool as fuck and everyone gets around.
I know. They're just cool.
They're just cool. Like cats. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
And on top of that, great footballers, very successful footballers. I think that he will be one of the four or five puzzle pieces that Ivan Cleary never lets go of at the Penrith Panthers. And I completely understand why, because I personally think he is going to finish his career as the greatest winger we've ever seen.
Wow.
And I already think he's in the conversation. Like people will throw up Wendell, Lottie, these sort of guys, and great players, 100%. But, I mean, Brian Toto's 100 games in. I think he's a Brad Fittler medalist. He's a three-time premiership winner. He's already lost a grand final. He's breaking running metres year in, year out at Clubland, State of Origin. You know, he was part of the Samoan team that went all the way to the World Cup final as well. And you know what the other thing is that people sleep on with Brian Toto is that he's won a comp at left wing and right wing. Like it's just ridiculous, all the stuff he manages to do. And the number one thing people try and bring him down for, Kat, is, oh, he's short and people jump on him. No one ever jumps over him.
Hello.
It never happens.
In 100 games, he scored 69 tries.
And you know what? On top of that, nice. But in those games, think about how many times Stephen Crichton or Isaac Tungo or currently Taylor May have fucking dummied and gone when they probably should have passed to him. Yeah. It's been my one criticism of those guys throughout their entire career, in particular Stephen Crichton for the early year or so. They just the amount of times they – like it was a running joke in the NRL, don't bet on Brian Toto because they don't pass him the football.
Yeah.
And he's still going at a strike rate of 70%.
Wow.
It's insane.
Well, there you go.
Wild.
I mean that – yeah, and it's so hard when you have a team that has done what they've done, because everyone who's been a part of that journey, it's almost that their in efforts as individuals are somewhat forgotten.
Yeah.
Because it's such an achievement to have the three-peat. But look at their individual careers on paper.
Yeah,
we were talking about Dylan Edwards earlier. He's often caught in the shadows, I think, because of just the fact that he does his job day in, day out and never complains, never says anything, never part of any negative headlines. He just gets his job done. Brian Toto is like that as well.
And you look at Dylan Edwards, you know, when you're talking about these careers, and I know this is apples and oranges, so don't jump down my throat, but, you know, he's a three-time premiership winner with a Clive Churchill medal. Joey's a two-time premiership winner with one Clive Churchill.
Mm.
Like it's crazy how these careers are stacking up very quickly.
Mm.
Obviously, Nath is a three-time premiership winner with two Clives.
Crazy.
That's just off the charts. And Nath's 25?
25 or 26.
Yeah.
25 or 26. Either way, he's mid-20s. He's young.
Yeah, it's insane. And, you know, Brian Totter's the same. He's got so much more rugby league to come up. And I am so happy, Kat. I'm so happy he's a New South Welshman.
Oh,
he's
me
one
too.
Guy that no matter what's happening, I know I'm going to get a good game out of Brian. I know he's going to go fucking hard and he's going to do a job for us. He is a sensational player.
He is.
What's next?
Now, speaking of sensational players, this one's a bit sad to me because I feel like he never quite lived up to his potential.
Yep.
There was a lot of hype around Josh Schuster when Manly Seagulls first signed him and then when they extended his contract.
Yep.
There were definitely questions.
Yep.
But I think you yourself have often said that he's one of the most naturally gifted guys, but he just couldn't switch it on, which is such a shame. But we've now seen that the two parties, being Manly Seagulls and Josh Schuster and his management, have parted ways.
Yep.
And that he is free to find a different team, a different club, maybe a different country, who knows?
Yeah, and this one's obviously about a week and a half old or so, but we just never really got a chance to touch on it. And I'm going to take what Kat said and add to it. Obviously a guy that's never reached his potential. The only thing I would add to that, Kat, a guy that hasn't reached his potential so far. He has still got a lot of time.
Yeah.
But if you were a betting man about Josh Schuster reaching his potential, you would have to go against him reaching it based on what we've seen so far. But fuck, I just...
He's 22.
He's got so much left to give. But he's just had the way in which he's let opportunities slip so far. There's no doubting it. There's no sugarcoating it. It's a huge fucking red flag. There is no other way to put that. But the guy has just got so much talent. As Kat said, I think he's one of the most naturally gifted guys I've ever seen. The way that he, and it's just the little things, and, you know, everyone talks about the no-look pass and, you know, this sort of stuff. But his ability to square up a line is just fucking off the charts, and it's why when Manly were humming and he was playing in that side on the left edge back row, it's why Manly scored so many points on the left side. Everyone says turbo, turbo, turbo. Mate, Schuster, the way that he would square up the line and suck everyone in, create space for Turbo and Ruben Garrick out there was just second to none. Obviously, there's been off-field stuff and, you know, there's been on-field stuff. There's been injuries. Weird, like, he's just one of those guys that weird shit seems to happen around Kat.
Yeah.
Whether it's chicken pox or whatever's going on, I just
very weird.
It's very odd, and he, yeah, I don't know. There's just so much ability there. I don't know where he ends up. I'll be honest with you. If I was coaching an NRL team, he's got gamble written on his forehead. And the beauty of gambles is that if it goes well for you, it is an absolute jackpot. If it goes poorly for you, though, it can be really tough. He's walking out of an $800,000 contract per year. He's not going to sign for biscuit somewhere else. So I'm so intrigued to see where this lands. If I was a coach or a CEO, I would go, I can see the opportunity, but I'll pass. I'm very interested to see who signs him.
Yeah, me too. Because there were definite glimpses that I saw 2 years ago. I remember even from a super coach or fantasy perspective, Schuster was one of the guys we were all talking about. He was easy points. He was playing really well. And then it just started to kind of go downhill. And you've got to wonder why. Because these guys are human at the end of the day. There's other things going on. And hopefully he can find somewhere that he fits in better, or maybe he just suits the coaching better, whether it is down to a discipline-related thing. Maybe he needs what the Dolphins have and go join a Wayne Bennett-like character where he's, you know, really told what to do. Maybe Seabold just didn't bring out the best in him as well.
You know, and it could be interesting. Like, he's the sort of guy that it wouldn't surprise me if we do get a new franchise that starts in a few years' time. And if Wayne happens to be the coach of that, obviously it looks likely it'll be at South Sydney. But if I was starting a new franchise, fuck, I think I'd get Wayne again.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's the sort of guy that he takes a bit of a punt on. I just hope that Schuster hasn't done enough to convince people not to give him another shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he played better under Dez than he played under Seabs.
Yep. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Maybe he goes and...
Maybe.
Who knows? You know how we had the what if on Monday? Yep. We had the what if segment and we could have gone on so many tangents with that. Josh Schuster's a what if for me.
Well,
it's a what if he was with a different club. Would he be a different type of player?
And you know what? I sincerely hope that Josh Schuster isn't a what if in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be one of those guys you go, fuck, on his day he could do absolutely anything. But then you go, when it wasn't his day, he could do nothing. He was just in all sorts.
I agree.
And I think the coaching point's an interesting take. My only counter to that, And, you know, I'm one of the very few nerds that would have watched him play New South Wales Cup. But even there, like sometimes you'd go back there and he wouldn't even stand out. And that just makes it even more frustrating.
But did he look like he was giving it his all in New South Wales Cup?
Well, that's the thing. But
I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, and I find it very hard. If guys look like they're not giving it all as professional athletes, I find that very hard to excuse.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is where, yeah, he's so yeah. And you know what? There's a lot of former Manly players over at the Tigers. I know that Benji spoke very highly of Juice Schuster when he first ever saw him.
And we know his management has a really good relationship with the Tigers.
Obviously. Crown Sports Management. Crown's got a lot of boys over there. Crown's got a lot of boys, the Dragons too. So
they're Manly, Dragons and Tigers. That's where all their boys are. So the likelihood of him making a switch to either of those is pretty high.
Yeah, I think he's very close to the Finu boys as well, Schuster. Yeah. Really interesting to watch that space and see what happens. But it might be a Super League. It might be
the one thing he has on his side is age, being that he is only 22 years old. We're not talking about a 25 or a 26-year-old who's had a contract end prematurely and he's told to go find another club. This guy's 22. We have players who debut at his age in first grade. There is definitely opportunity here. He's just got to find it.
And if you put them in a skill tester on his best day, he probably ends up in the top 5% of the NRL for his natural ability. But it's just the other stuff that he's got to put together. Which
is arguably just as important.
Well, when you watch him, you go, it's arguably, it's definitely more important.
Yeah.
We'll see where that ends up.
All right. Well, speaking of the Tigers, we saw Taruva sign with the Tigers. So he'll be going over to join Jerome Luai next season.
I really like this. I've always been a big, I call him Guruva. I've always been a big fan of him. Obviously, I remember a couple of years ago, Caddy played a test match for Fiji at fullback and he was my little CBA guy to watch in that game. I think he ran for about 350 metres. He was incredible. He's arrived at the Penrith Panthers. He's now a premiership winner, scoring a stack of tries, doing great things. I know like back in the day, Cat used to watch guys carve up for the Melbourne Storm, then other teams would sign them and they'd drop off a little bit. And Penrith, I think most of the guys that have left Penrith have been pretty damn good at their clubs, whether it be Critter, Appy, all these sort of guys, Viliami Kikau, Matty Burt, like I think they've all been pretty good. And I think Taruva will be as well. I saw a reported price tag the other day the Tigers got him for, which is about $450, which if they've got Taruva for $450, and once again, very pie in the sky sort of stuff, we never know with these figures. But if I read that figure and it said $550, I still think that's a good deal for the Tigers. So if $450 is within $200K of it, like if you told me the Tigers signed him for $850, I'd be like, oh, that probably checks out for the Tigers. It's overs, but it checks out. I think about $657 is around about his value based on what he's achieved and what he's done. So I really like it. He can play fullback as well. Like there's no guarantee whatsoever that wing is his best spot. Is he going to play fullback in the Tigers? Probably not with Jareem Buller there. He'll play wing, I assume. But I think it's a really, really good signing. And you've now got Appy, you've got Jerome Luai, you've got Taruva on the wing. That Tiger side's coming together.
I like it. And to draw a comparison, they're kind of where the Dogs were last year or the year before, slowly signing people and players that match the culture that look like they're going to fit in nicely and ideally create something that's going to work. And I don't want to speak too early on the Dogs, but whatever they're doing has worked enough to get them into the top eight. I think it's nice to see that the Tigers are following suit in a similar way. And Benji's got, you know, we talked about Souths bringing in Bennett and how that might not be a long-term thing. It's nice to see that the Tigers look like they're building something for the long term.
I'll tell you what, the other advantage the Tigers have, or very big positive for me that the Tigers have, is that, you know, normally when you're rebuilding a club, you have to go out and buy a star fullback, a star ball player. And granted, they've gone and got Jerome Luai. But, you know, they've brought Aiden Caesar at pretty good value. He's been fantastic. They've found Galvin. They've found Samuel Ifeanyi. They've found Jerome Buller. They found all these guys that over the next 2 or 3 years, once you add a bit more experience around them, could really elevate them really quickly. I really like the direction the Tigers are heading in at the
too.
Moment. And I think the big signing as well, Kat, Shane Richardson, the CEO, re-signing. It was only going to be a 6-month deal. I think he signed on for another year or two last week. So Yeah, like regardless of results this weekend, this year, whatever, I just like the direction the Tigers are heading in. I love what Benji Marshall's doing at the moment. It's not all perfect. It's not always going to be rainbows, but I just like the way that Benji's handling himself. I love that we got to the start of the season and I'm sitting here going, fucking Galvin, he's 18. He can't possibly pick him. And Benji eyeballs Bud Sullivan, who's been a star in our game before, and looks at Galvin and goes, nah, I know who's – I don't give a fuck about age, whatever. If you're good enough, you're old enough, I'm going to back him in. And it's just proven to be fantastic. And even now he's got Latu Fainu on the bench over Bud Sullivan, which I think is the right call, but it's a ballsy call to make.
Mm.
But I think it's the right call. So I just
– But it's a wake-up call to guys like Bud, who, similar to Josh Schuster, have a lot of natural ability, but they – that's not going to take you all the way. That's not going to get you the spot. What's going to get you the spot is the discipline and the hard work and the desire to be the best in the team.
And when Bud eventually gets his opportunity back in that side, if he plays good footy, you can put that down to the disappointment he had to go through. When Benji went, mate, I don't give a fuck what your contract says. I'm going with the best options I can have. And at the moment, you're not it. And that would hurt, Bud. He's a professional athlete.
Of course.
And a bloody good footballer. There's so much ability.
And
but
he came from a Dragon side where he was constantly gassed up as one 100%. Of the best. So,
And, you know, a lot of coaches would have bent over to, oh, well, fuck, hold on. We're paying Bud Sullivan 500K. We've got to play him. Benji goes, nah, I've got two teenagers there that have got ticker and a cane. I'm going to back him in. I love to see it.
Yeah, it is cool. It is tough. It's very tough for the boys, but it's good to see.
Yeah, but it's... You know, it could at the same time, it could be the making of Bud Sullivan.
Yeah. This
really
is the,
could be.
What do they say? This is the canon event.
Yes.
Did you watch Spider-Man?
No.
Did you just say yes and non?
Yes. You do it to me all the time.
If anyone is a bit of a Spider-Man junkie like myself, I love Spider-Man, all of the adaptations of Spider-Man, but like more recently the Morales version where there's a canon event. A canon event is like a moment that is like the core moment in which something really
starts in
your life.
Uncle Ben gets shot?
Yeah, exactly. There is the Uncle Ben shooting.
Yes.
Shooting was very harsh. The death of Uncle Ben was the canon. Don't do this to me.
Yeah.
Was the canon event in Spider-Man, but there is in every Spider-Man iteration, there is a version of Uncle Ben who dies.
Mm.
The idea is that it's like this event that needs to happen in your life for you to move on.
I like that. Shout out to Uncle Ben Rice too. You ever get that from the supermarket?
I like the Mexican one.
Yeah, the Mexican one's mad. Yeah, that's real nice. Anyway, we're getting off topic. Shout out to the Tigers, doing very good things. Congratulations to Taruva, well deserved. Took him a while to get into first grade, but he's certainly made a splash since he has arrived. Guys, if you want to listen to the full video of this podcast, if you listen to it on the Guru Podcast, the video is in the Roo Crew along with all the videos of all the content we do throughout the week. They also got early access about 24 hours in advance. So a heap to take in there. Enjoy your Friday footy. We'll have our preview coming for the games.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Tonight, a little bit later today. And Kathmandu, we'll see him soon.
We will. This was definitely my canon event.
This was your canon event?
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
I'm going to be a better person after this.
I hope so. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.